Well, thanks, Carolyn, for the interview, and Jacob, just to get to know you a little bit more. We are going to be looking at the Bible tonight for the next 15, 20 minutes or so, just to kind of close out our night and look at that. We're going to do that each week. So I know most of you guys, I've met most of you guys either yesterday on campus or from the past, but if you haven't met me, my name is Brian. I work with Carolyn as a staff for DCF. And kind of one of the main things we want to do this semester, being not just because we're separated, but even if we were in person, we would do the same thing, is we want to spend time in the Bible learning what God has to teach us and show us about himself and us as well. And so we're going to do that this semester. We're going to look at maybe a different book than some of you guys are used to. It's actually a letter that somebody wrote to a group of people to tell them about who God is and what they need to know to try to navigate life in just a really godly and effective and successful way. So I threw a, actually, let me throw it in the chat right now. I threw a Google Doc together that if you're like a visual person, you can feel free just to listen. You don't need to look at it. But I like to learn visually. If I don't see something, it doesn't like work for me. So so there's something you can follow along with. We're going to look at just one verse tonight. So I don't know how familiar you are with the Bible. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you didn't. Doesn't matter. We're glad you're here. But we're going to keep it really simple because it's the first week of the semester. I hope you guys aren't already zoomed out, we're just going to keep it short and sweet. So, you know, one of the things that I think is really important about the beginning of any semester is just the idea of introductions. So my guess is that if you're a freshman, you've had a lot of introductions so far in your like orientation groups and in breakout rooms. We did that tonight for you guys, like let's get in smaller groups to like get to know each other. That's just a really normal and good thing to do. Helps us to get to know each other. And it can be awkward a little bit at first because you're like, I don't want to make a bad first impression, right? I just want to like people to like me. What's really cool is that if you understand that kind of experience of like first impressions and getting to know people, you're already halfway to understanding the book of James tonight, because what James is going to do at the start of his letter, we're going to see this in a moment, is he just introduces a lot of people to us. So if you're looking at the Google Doc that I sent, we're going to look at three things. Really three groups of people. First, James is going to introduce us to himself. We're going to learn a little bit about him as the author. We're going to learn about the people he's writing to. And then lastly, James is going to introduce us to the person of Jesus. So every week we get together, we're going to do this every Tuesday from 8 to 9. We're just essentially going to ask two questions every week. What do we learn from the Bible? And what does that mean for us today? So so three things that James highlights for us, three kind of groups of people he wants us to know about. The first is himself. So you'll see there, you're following along, he wants to tell us about kind of how he's an unlikely messenger. So I'm going to read the passage for us. It's just one verse. It's right at the top of the sheet. This is what James has to say as he starts off his letter. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Actually, let me read it again. It's so short. It's like easy just to kind of gloss over. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. So that's all we're going to look at tonight. Who is James? Who is this unlikely messenger who's writing this letter back in the first century? If you grew up in church, maybe you know that there's some different Jameses in the Bible. There was a James, you'll see there, a couple options. It could be James, the brother of John. So he was a fisherman. He was one of Jesus's first 12 followers. They called them disciples. And some people think maybe it was him. Probably it wasn't him, most people think, because as you see there, later on in the Bible, in the book of Acts chapter 12, it says that this James, the brother of John, was actually put to death by King Herod. And so he was put to death really quickly after Jesus's ministry, and so it wouldn't have given enough time for him to have written this book and for it to kind of circulate. So probably wasn't him. Some people think maybe this is the James, the other disciple, James, son of Alphaeus. We were like, that's a weird name, Alphaeus. But it probably wasn't that James either. Most people think, because he probably would have referred to himself as James, son of Alphaeus, right? He doesn't. It wasn't him, but probably not. Most people think, as you look at like books of pastors that write things and smart people, much smarter than me, even back into like the first and second century, they think it was probably James, the brother of Jesus, who's writing this letter. And it's really interesting, as we'll see in a moment, why that matters. I've included a few verses for you. And some people think, did Jesus even have siblings? That's kind of a weird notion. But you'll notice there from Matthew chapter 13, it says, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Talking about Jesus, aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So Jesus did have brothers. They weren't divine. He had other siblings. They weren't as unique as him, but they were real people. Most people think it is this James who's writing the letter, which is really significant, actually, because if it is this James, two things you should know about him. He was not a big fan of Jesus for all of his life. Look at that next little bullet point. It says, even Jesus's own brothers, John chapter 7, did not believe in him. And so you'd think, okay, if I were a sibling of Jesus, I'd probably, you know, like him. Not the case. This James was not a big fan. They didn't even believe the things that he said, the things that he did. They thought he was crazy at times. And yet, at some point down the road, we learn that this same James, the brother of Jesus, actually starts to have real faith. He starts to take Jesus seriously. It starts to mean something to him that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. You'll see there in 1 Corinthians, I just included it for you. It says, then Jesus appeared to James, this James, then to all the apostles. So at some point after Jesus' resurrection, he actually appears to James. And that list that Paul says in 1 Corinthians are people who actually believed in God. So something happened at some point in James's life where he went from not being too interested in Jesus to being really interested in Jesus, even to writing a letter about Jesus and to people who love Jesus. So it's really significant. Even in Acts chapter 15, we learn that James was probably the first main pastor of the church of Jerusalem, which is like a really big church back then in the first century. So why does that all matter? You're like, that's a great history lesson, Brian. Thanks for the, you know, the jeopardy there. But it matters because here's why. Two reasons. Number one, if you would say, you don't need to raise your hand, but if you would say that you are kind of a church kid, right? You grew up in the church. You were in youth group for some of your childhood. You have Christian parents, whatever it is. You grew up kind of with Christianity. That is a huge blessing, right? That's a huge gift because you got to be around the Bible a lot. You got to be around probably people that encouraged you to navigate life and to answer big questions in life. And that's awesome. But it's also kind of a warning, I think, because here's what we learn about James. Just because you rub shoulders with kind of religious people, just because you grew up in church, it doesn't mean that you've earned any brownie points with God, right? Just because you have Christian parents doesn't mean that God is just kind of by default pleased with you, right? You have to actually own your faith. You have to make it real. You have to decide, this matters to me. And I think we see that in James's testimony, going from not believing in Jesus to actually being somebody who's all about Jesus. So if you grew up in the church, we're glad you're here. This hopefully is an encouraging semester for you as we get together and do things like this. But I would ask you, have you ever actually owned your faith, right? Is this something that matters to you? Or is it just kind of the thing that you know the right answer for when people ask you? So both encourages us and challenges us. And I would say on the other end of the spectrum, if you didn't grow up in the church, if you're not really kind of religious by your family or by experience, we are so glad you're here, right? There's no assumptions when you come to DCF. There's no, you know, card you have to sign to jump on our Zoom call. We love just being open to all people that would want to check out what the Bible says this semester. And I think it's really encouraging to look at the person of James, this unlikely messenger, because if you didn't grow up very religious, here's the encouragement. It's never too late to take Jesus seriously, right? There was a point when James actually had the opportunity to look into the matters for himself and to say, this is something that means something to me. So if you're still figuring things out, if you're like, I have a lot of questions, we would love to hear them. We'd love to keep talking with you. We'd love to try to answer some of those questions and just walk through life with you this semester. So hopefully this is a place that you can call home and wrestle through some of those things you're curious about. So I think it really does apply to us. So we learn about James and we also learn about ourselves as we learn about the author of this book. But not only do we learn about James, if you keep kind of scrolling down that Google Doc, notice that we learn about the audience he writes to. So I called it a needy audience. And just to read the verse again, it says, James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, says two. So in ancient letters, you know, it's kind of different from modern day letters. Usually you have the to and from at different spots in the letter. The to and from are at the same place. But here's what we learn about the audience. It says, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. So two things we learn about James's audience. One, he refers to them as the 12 tribes. If you grew up in the church, or maybe you've taken a religion course or something, that should ring a bell, because what James is doing is he's saying there's a Jewish connection to the people he's writing to, right? The 12 tribes, that was an Old Testament thing. Jacob was a really important person in the Old Testament. He had 12 sons, he had 12 children, and they became the nation of Israel. And so as James writes this letter to these people who God matters to them, he's saying that they have an understanding of Judaism. They have an understanding about laws and cultures and ancestry and all that stuff. So that'll come up in the letter as we unpack it this semester. But here's the other thing that we learn about this audience is that it says they're scattered. Did you notice that? Scattered not just among a town, they're scattered among the nations. So that's really important, because it means that this group of Jewish Christians, they couldn't just gather whenever they wanted, right? They couldn't just, you know, get together. There were things, and we'll see this in a moment, that were really hard about life. And as I step back and think about 2020 so far, what an appropriate letter for us to study this semester at DCF, right? You and I are very scattered, maybe not among the nations, but we're scattered from our hometown, right? We can't just get together. Even if you're on campus, right? You have to wear your mask. You can't gather in groups of more than 25. You have to kind of be cautious. All these things, you're like, man, it just feels hard. And I think this is a helpful book for us to look at, because we can really relate to these people. Like, there are challenges to gathering, to getting to know one another. And yet, James is going to have a lot to say to these people, and I think to us as well, as we look at his letter this semester, to encourage us to say, it is good when we gather. It's good when we get together, even if it's over Zoom. You know, James is writing this letter, and he's using the most epic technology of his day, right? He's writing this letter on papyrus, which was like, whoa, you can write on something? Like, you don't need to chisel a rock? This is crazy. You and I have the latest technology at our fingertips. We can use Zoom. We can text. We can post stuff on Instagram, right? Whatever it is. We can make TikTok videos. We can do Reels. Whatever it is, we can use those things to encourage each other each day, even as the semester has its challenges. So just be encouraged by that. And notice, look at some of the topics I included. We're going to just fly through these for time's sake. But as we look at James's letter this semester, it's 5 chapters, so it's not that long. You could probably read it, you know, 20 minutes tonight if you wanted to. But he's going to highlight for us just a number of things that these people who are scattered among the nations, these 12 tribes of that he's referring to, the things that they're going through. Look at some of them with me. It says, these are people, chapter 1, they're facing trials of many kinds. Ask yourself, are there things that you are walking through, you know, this semester, even as it's only day 2? Are there things that feel just really challenging already, right? Either you're at home, or just you're kind of bringing in from the summer, where you're like, man, this is just hard. James says he has a lot to say about how to navigate that, how to pursue wisdom in the midst of that. In fact, he says, do you lack wisdom, right? Chapter 1, verse 5. I don't know about you guys. I often find myself going, God, what should I do here, right? How should I make this decision? Who should I talk to? How should I treat that person? What do I do in this situation? He's going to have a ton to say about us as we try to make decisions. He's going to talk about looking after orphans and widows. The end of chapter 1, right? That's a big deal to God. People who are often neglected and forgotten about and have tangible needs, God says that matters to me. And it should matter to us. And it should matter to the people that James is writing to. So he's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about favoritism, right? Have you ever been the victim of somebody who's shown favoritism? Kind of you've been pushed to the side, and somebody maybe in your family or your friend group has been elevated at your expense, right? That happens, that hurts. Or maybe you've been the perpetrator of that, right? And you've been the one to to maybe not do some so hot things socially, and it's led to other people being hurt. James says, we're going to talk about that. It's relevant 2,000 years later. He's going to talk about the rich, exploring the poor. I'm not even going to get into that, but he's going to have a lot to say about that in the weeks to come. He's going to talk about claiming to have faith without deeds. In other words, it's not enough for me or for you guys to say, I believe all these things, and then it make no difference in how we live. He says, that is not cool. So we're going to look at that. What does that mean? How do we navigate that? He's going to talk about quarrels and fighting. I'm sure none of us do that, right? Yeah, okay. Just any friend group, any family group, give them enough time and some fights and quarrels will come out. Boasting and bragging about the future, learning to pray. I tell you, man, if, you know, since I've been a Christian, I became a Christian my freshman year of college. Probably the one area that I'd love to grow the most in is just getting better at prayer, praying more regularly, praying more passionately, praying and remembering people's needs. He's going to say, this is something that God wants us to learn about and to know about. So we're going to talk about that toward the end of the semester. So I hope you guys see, there's just a ton of things in this short letter that James is saying. He's just packing it full to say God cares about these things, and we should too. And so how does this apply to us? Why does this matter to us? Primarily it matters because this, I think, excuse me, once I grab some water. I think it matters because I think it's an honest first look at the fact that you and I don't have to have our life together to come to God. And when we do come to God, it doesn't mean we have to have arrived, right? And if you meet somebody who calls himself a Christian and kind of gives you the impression they have arrived and they have all the answers, be very wary of that person. You know, love them, but take what they say with a grain of salt, because here's the reality. All of us have our own challenges, right? We're working through issues. There are things that we still don't know about. There's things that we just need a ton of God's help with. And so I think this is just a really helpful letter and part of the Bible to go, hey, I can identify with that. And I don't need to kind of fake it until I make it, right? I don't have to put on this mask for people and say, how you doing? I'm fine, when I'm maybe not fine. And that's okay. And God meets us where we are. And I think that encourages us to actually go to God. And I think that encourages us to actually be real with one another as we get to know each other this semester. So it's a very relevant and timely letter for us, I think. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so the Bible is very clear. All of us have fallen short. All of us have a problem. None of us measure up to God in and of ourselves. And so Jesus, as we're going to see in a moment, he's come to provide for us something that we couldn't provide for ourselves. So a needy audience. I don't know about you guys. That is me through and through. And so I'm excited to learn with you guys this semester and learn together. So we learn about his audience. We've seen a little bit about James so far. Last thing is this, and then we'll wrap it up. We learn about Jesus. And I say he's an incredible Jesus, because there's a number of things that James highlights for us about this person, Jesus. He says in the beginning of that verse, says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he gives us kind of three ways to understand Jesus: Lord, Jesus, and Christ. And, you know, this is not really a joke, but it kind of is funny. For the longest time, I thought that Christ was Jesus's last name, growing up like as a kid, right? Jesus, Christ, first name, last name. That's not what Christ means. It's a title. It's a position. And that's the same with Lord as well. And so you'll see there on the notes, if you're following along, what does it mean that Jesus is Lord? Here's what it means. Bare bones. It means that he is the master. He is the one to whom a Christian belongs. Which is why I think James can say of himself that right in the beginning there, he says that, James, I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you really want to nerd out for a minute, in the Greek, the word for servant can also be translated the word for slave. It's the word doulos. You can look it up later. Servant, slave, same word. And I realize even as I say that, you're probably like, wait a minute, this just got awkward. Because, wait a minute, does Christianity, is it advocating, is it supporting this idea of slavery? What's going on, right? I don't like that. I want to draw a very important distinction, because I think and rightly so, I think this idea of slavery comes with a ton of baggage, right? It has a huge history behind it. Two things. One, somebody being the master of another person owning another person, never good, right? Never condoned by God, never healthy, should always be no, right? That's not good. But James is using the idea of servant and slave in a very different way. He's saying, I'm not a servant of another person. He's saying, I'm a servant of God himself. In other words, God owns my life, right? I am his. I follow him. He sets the agenda for my day. And that is a really good thing. And here's why it's good, because, and hopefully you see that more and more this semester, particularly if maybe you're not as familiar with Christianity, Jesus is so beautiful. He's so loving. He's so powerful and so wise and so creative and so merciful that as you get to know him more and your life starts to be wrapped up in what he says is good and right, you want to give your life more and more to him. It's the best ride you'll ever be on. So it's a really good thing that James calls himself a servant here. That's why I included that little quote. I'll read it about, how it relates. This is one pastor. He says it this way. He says, people suppose the only true liberty is to be at the command and under the control of none above themselves and live according to their heart's desire. But catch this. He says, but this is a power and bondage of the worst kind. He says, true liberty is not the power to live as we please, but to live as we ought. And I think he's onto something there. He's saying, we often think of freedom as saying, I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want to say. I can, treat others however I want to treat them. He says, that's not freedom. That's actually bondage. Try that for a long time. Give yourself to doing whatever you want. He says, it doesn't often work out so well. He says, but man, if you understand who God is, if you understand what Jesus wants for your life, and you say, I want to make my life in line with him, oh my goodness, that's where liberty starts to come. That's where freedom and power and transformation and purpose starts to enter into the equation. And so I just want to encourage you guys, Lord is such a good way to think about Jesus. And hopefully it expands who Jesus is as you think about him this semester. So we learn that Jesus is Lord, but also we learn that Jesus, this might be obvious, is Jesus, right? What does that name mean? It means that God saves. It's a transliteration of the Old Testament name Joshua. So God sent Jesus, why? To save us. And he didn't primarily save us from challenging circumstances, although he certainly helps us. God is always there to help us when times are hard and when we need wisdom and all those things. But we learn from this letter, and we'll see more in weeks to come, that God is saving us from our sin, from the wrath of God, from the ways that we know we should live, but we don't even come close to measuring up. I put there that God offers a solution to the heart of the problem, which, if you boil it down, is the problem of the human heart, that we want to live for ourselves. We want to treat others how we want to treat them. And God says, there's a better way. And so we can come to him and not just learn about the better way, but we can be given a new life and a new identity as we trust in him and put our faith in him, which is why, lastly, we're just looking at the term Christ. He is the Lord. He is God's one who saved, but he's God's anointed one. In other words, God handpicked him. Even before, we were a group of cells in our mother's womb developing, God knew what our needs would be. And so he chose Jesus to come to be like one of us, to take on flesh, to die the death that we should have died, and to get the blessing that Jesus earned for us, an eternal life through dying on the cross for our sin. And so that is a good thing. That means we can trust God, that he actually knows our need better than we know our own need, because he was thinking about us even before we had our first thought. So I hope that encourages you. I hope that that gives you a sense that you can be yourself here at DCF. You can be honest. You can not just be honest with one another. I mean, that's, I think, the way that actual genuine and real community develops as the semester goes on. But I think ultimately that we can be honest with God, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. He's the Lord. He came to save, and he came to save in a timely way. And so hopefully that's encouraging to you tonight. We're just doing kind of a flyby of the book of James, but each week we'll just unpack a little bit of it. So if you're a Christian already, that's awesome. Join us, in the weeks to come and be encouraged by what God has to teach us. If you're just figuring things out, you're not even sure what you believe, I would encourage you to keep coming back. We're going to do some things throughout the week as well that you can learn more about the Bible. You can ask questions. You can kind of just live life among other people trying to navigate it as well. So let me pray for us, and then I think maybe has a few announcements to wrap up the evening. But let me pray. God, thank you that you give us a book like James, that you want to communicate who you are, and you want us to know who you are as we figure out life, not just in the challenging moments, but even in the really good moments. I pray that you would give us wisdom as the semester starts. I pray that you'd give us the humility, even as Jacob mentioned earlier, just it's so easy to be prideful. I pray that you'd give us a renewed sense of humility to say where we're weak and admit where we need you and need other people. Would you go on this journey with us as we start this semester? Help us to know more of Jesus as we do it. We pray this in his name. Amen.